This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Look, you have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. And they make sure that you're fully covered. They make sure that the policies are updated. They make sure that they do everything to save you money. This is great pros. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Wednesday, August 7th. At the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Sign up now. Be great. And we're here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Jerry Dulac, next half hour, joining us from Pinehurst. Patrick Cantlay, a one-shot lead after he is done with his round. He shot a 565 today on that course. Which is phenomenal. We're going to talk to Jerry about the course. I've never been to Pinehurst. I was talking to a couple writers today, because there are a lot of writers up today, because James Franklin met with the media today, and it's Live for Life Day. And Mark Wogenrich was saying that he went down and covered the U.S. Open in 2005. Now, this is before Bill Kaur and Ben Crenshaw took the Donald Ross design and, you know, put more natural sandy areas into it and high growth and so forth. And he said it's like being to the Pinehurst, he said, was like the Disney World of golf without all the rides. It's like a shrine. So, he said, I couldn't even stay near there. He said, I'd stay in Fayetteville. So it was about an hour away. All right. You say how Drew Shelton's back, and I told you back in April on the show that Drew, it would be back in June, and said needs to put a little weight on, which is true, because Drew did need to put a little bit of weight on. Talked about Javon Williams. He had a meeting this morning with Drew Aller. And in the meeting with Drew Aller, they talked about how things have gone to this point, in the 7-on-7 drills and so forth. He liked how the conversation went with Drew. And I talked to Drew on, I talked to Drew on Monday. Same thing. We kind of got the same read from him as what James had in his conversation with him. And there's been a better coordination about workouts, runs, and lifts, and so forth. He's thrilled with that to this point. The whiteout, they're still waiting to hear. Says there's been a lot of give and take on it. He feels that the whiteout sets the tone for all the themes that they do along the way. They feel like they're getting closer to doing what they want with it. We'll see. He was asked about Harrison Wallace today. But Trey Wallace is an interesting player because people talk about the wide receiver position. And they're justified in talking about the wide receiver position. If that position can make that next step up, it makes a big difference in how the entire football team plays out. Trey Wallace is one of the critical guys in all that. As James pointed out today, everybody thought last year he was going to make that next step up, and he was showing the signs of it. Jack and I are watching practices like he's ready to go, and then gets banged up. He's limited. And that means he couldn't be out there all the time. And everybody feels the same way about him this year as they did going into last year. This guy can be a really good player for them. The key is he has to keep himself out there. And so far to this point, in the spring, and so far in the workouts to this point, he has. And that's been important. And they don't have captains yet. I think people have wondered about that. Still not there yet. And they've had votes. They're just not there yet. That's fine. The Live for Life is today. I'll be going over about an hour or so just to check it out, make a contribution. It is amazing what they've done because, you know, let's go back to the captain part. That's talking about leadership. That's one thing that's the underrated part about Live for Life. We talk about the effort all the players put in. We talk about the amount of money that's been raised for the rare disease community. Penn State is number one in the fundraising among universities for the rare disease community. But there's another underlying element to this that ends up being a football locker room element. In order to do this, and the players, you know, yes, do they have some outside help? You know, not much, but some, yeah. But essentially, they do 80 to 90% of it themselves, which means you have to have a president, a vice president, a secretary, treasurer, things like that. Those are all leaders. You need leadership to get this done, and they have that. And look, there are certain guys on this team, leadership-wise, that I would look to right away that others naturally gravitate toward. One is Nick Dawkins. Another one is Devon Ellis. I think both those guys, people naturally gravitate toward. And, you know, and Dawkins is very heavily involved in what's going on with Live for Life. And that is today. All right, so now let's get to the money story of the day. Dennis Dodd, as usual, breaking this. And there is a cash infusion possibility of between $800 million and $1 billion for the Big 12 from the Luxembourg-based CVC Capital Partners. What would they get in exchange for $800 million to $1 billion? A 15 to 20% stake in the Big 12. Now, a portion of the money would go directly to the conference members. And the partnership would give the conference access to CVC's investment services and clients. Now, they are a global equity firm. In fact, they are considered to be a giant. They manage over $200 dollars in investments worldwide. Worldwide. Now, that's their website that tells you that. So, they had meetings down in Dallas, so the guys flew in from Luxembourg to see him. They say the talks are serious, but they're also at the sensitive stage. This has never been done before. Big 12 teams are currently getting about $31.7 million from Fox and ESPN for media rights. That deal runs through 2031. Now, that automatically puts them dramatically behind the Big Ten and the SEC on media rights. They're getting less than half, or they're getting about half at this hour, of the Big Ten, which is number one. But they're going to fall further behind because the Big Ten contract, remember, is backloaded. I've mentioned that 1,000 times, but I always feel I have to mention that. They say that if they can add in the private equity, it would get them much closer to the Big Ten media rights deal. Now, in the end, the Big Ten's going to average about $75 million per year. It's about to make a move up because of USC, UCLA coming in. I remember the Oregon-Washington part, Fox fronted that. Okay? And they're not going to get a full share when they initially get into the league. So, if they get this together, there's no idea yet as to when the money will actually show up. That kind of investment keeps the Big 12 together, all 16 schools. They're going to. Right. Now, do they have to now change the name? I would change the 12 part. And in order to do it long term, they're going to have to convince CVC that a new media grant rights would be signed with a new TV deal in 2031. And let's face it, the investment is an incentive. It dangles the carrot in front of everybody to stay put. Now, Brett Yormark does have, he's the commissioner of the Big 12. At one point in his career, he had a relationship with CVC. And they say that CVC is intrigued by the Big 12's value and media rights. The current media rights deal with Fox and ESPN totals about $2.3 billion when it's all said and done. And on this show, there's always a lot more said than done. Their fourth and annual average value for its schools behind the Big Ten, the SEC, and the ACC. Now, if they were to double it in 2031, they'd get $5 billion. That 100% increase is considered to be a reasonable assumption by media industry sources that Dennis Dodd and CBS contacted. Everybody's looking for additional revenue. Okay? Big 12's trying to do it through private equity. The suit's trying to do it at the racetrack. Joking. And, of course, the NCAA settlement on House means that they're all going to have to come up with the money. So if the settlement's approved, which we're expecting Claudia Wilkin to approve it, Power Four schools would be allowed to share up to $22 million annually with athletes. I can tell you Penn State's going to be one of those that will share $22 million. You can go up to, it's up to you as to pick to whatever number. It's going to be up to $22 million. Well, Penn State will do the $22 million. As part of that settlement, schools will also consider adding scholarships to fully fund some sports. Okay. That's another expense. And over the next decade, that could be another $300 million in money you have to come up with. So, private equity. Do they cut and run? CVC's case, no. They like to do long-term investments in companies that they feel have a solid growth profile. Because when the company grows, their investment grows. All right. A person within the Big 12 said, quote, if we do well, they do well. Sounds simple. Michael Alford, the athletic director at Florida State, said the future is, and we're looking at it, private equity. I think it'll start at the conference level first if it doesn't start with us first. And, of course, Florida State has been trying to partner with the private equity firm Sixth Street because they're trying to maximize their value to get out of the ACC. So, on July 1, the Big 12 will operate as a 12-team league. Okay, they'll lose Oklahoma and Texas. Right now they're 14. They'll lose Texas and Oklahoma. They then go to 16 on August 1 when Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado come in. Yeah, that's why the Big Ten's not going to go to 18 until that date as well. And your Mark is a guy that is very aggressive. There's no getting around it. When he jumped the shark and moved the media rights negotiations ahead of the ACC, because if you're doing it in order, the Pac-12. The Pac-12 was actually next on the negotiating list, and the Big 12 jumped them. And when they jumped them, they secured their spot, and the Pac-12 went out of business. Now, that was at hand because, you know, USC and UCLA are like, ah, we're getting out of this thing. One Big 12 source said, quote, about your Mark, man, the dude is bold. He's all about it. He's bullish. So what does CVC Capital have in their portfolio? Sports-wise, a lot. CVC has invested in the Women's Tennis Association, the top cricket franchise in the Indian Premier League, La Liga, okay, the Spanish soccer giant, okay, Ligue de Football, the governing body that runs soccer in France, Premiership Rugby, that's England's top league, Six Nations Rugby, the United Rugby Championship, which is the top league, as I can tell you, in both in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And if you want to get a really familiar one, CVC is invested in Petco. And they're not a fly-by-night operation. Okay, CVC has been in business for 43 years. And Rob Lucas, who's the CEO and managing partner, he's been with them since 1996. Been with them 28 years. The other one to talk about down the road, I mentioned this one 2 weeks ago. I talked about Redbird Capital. Redbird Capital with Jerry Cardinal already has a stake in AC Milan, the Penguins, the Red Sox, Liverpool. He thinks that they might try to invest in anywhere from 5 to 10 college football programs. And that new college basketball tournament, that new in-season college basketball tournament, which focuses on NIL, is backed by an offshoot of Redbird. Private equity. Welcome to college sports. Just the beginning. Back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And with Father's Day coming up, you want to stock up. And also, Brewers Outlet gift cards. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ah, the U.S. Open going on. The runway now has been cleared. Patrick Cantlay is now off the course. He leads, but he's also played so slow. Jerry Dulac joins us. Sir, always my good friend, a pleasure.
Well, Steve, I apologize on behalf of the great state of North Carolina for missing my cue yesterday. I am at the U.S. Open, as I think you know. I was out on the golf course, and when I got back, it was like, darn, I missed the call, and I apologize.
No need with me. You know that. I'm the last one you have to apologize to. So tell me, as you played it, what were your thoughts on it, especially the layout and what Coren Crenshaw did to it years ago?
Well, you know, obviously I didn't play it yesterday. I was out walking it. I have played it since then. But I'll tell you what they've done, though, in the last 2 years and more specifically, probably just the last year, they've added more of those native grasses. Before, there was a smattering of ones of those grasses, and now there's like five or six different leaflets in there, and you know, you chances are you could go in there before and typically find it and or more importantly play from it. Getting a little harder now. You saw even Victor Hovland take an unplayable just off the grass surface, but he was in one of those high grasses, those wire grasses, and he couldn't play it. And he figured he better take a drop rather than, you know, try to make bogey as opposed to triple or more. He ended up making double bogey, but you're seeing guys try to play it, and it creates a lot of problems. So there are more grasses added. And the other thing they did, they switched from a bent grass putting surface to a Bermuda. Now, I don't know that that's affecting the players per se, but they're talking, you know, you could get some grainy Bermuda, and if you watch the broadcast on TV, you see two distinct shades of the green, and that's the you know, that's the grain that you're seeing, some up, some downgrade, some upgrade. And, that can create problems putting, and, of course, the speed of the greens. You know, they're running at 13.5.
Yeah.
I talked to Neil Shipley just a little bit ago, the Pittsburgh Amateur, and he said the fairways are firmer now than when they played the practice round, and the greens are, you know, they're fast and they're rolling, and they're already going to get a little crispy. And they might get some rain tomorrow, Steve, but it's going to be hot, and if they don't get some rain, it's only going to get more treacherous.
Well, the one issue I have when I watch an open on this course is you'll have the green, but the reality is 33 to 40% of the green is the only area you can safely land it and not lose it. The contours of these greens, they have a, if you hit the green, there's a chance you're going to run off it. When you walked it, what was your thought on it?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought all along, Steve, the person who wins here is a person who is very good around the greens with the terrific short game, can chip and putt the ball. We saw Martin Kaymer win by 8 shots the last time here by putting it off the green all the time. Guys are trying different methods, 6-irons, 7-irons, wedges, hybrids, fairway metals, something to kind of navigate those crown greens. And, you know, those greens, Steve, I tell everybody, it's like trying to stop a marble on a garbage can lid.
Right.
Because there's such a small area in the middle where you can stop it, but on the edges, it just rolls off. You know, whether it's over the green, short of the green, and it doesn't just trickle off, it rolls off 20 to 30 yards. And, it just makes for a lot of difficulty. You know, Bryson DeChambeau said the other day, Steve, that he said, they don't move the middle of the green. He goes, and that's where I'm playing. I'm playing the middle of the green. It might be boring, but you go at any pin, especially if they tuck them, well, I don't want to say tuck them, but put them near the edges, man, they become treacherous, and then you have a lot of 30 and 40-foot putts. So, yeah, this golf course, it's all about the greens. And that's what makes it so difficult.
Jerry, how important is not only patience but boring for the first 3 rounds in terms of how the player has to approach it?
Well, I think any time in a U.S. Open, patience is the biggest key that you can have, because you're going to make bogeys. You're probably going to make a double bogey somewhere along the line all week, and so you better not let it upset you. That's going to be a big, big factor. The ones who are unfazed, they're probably a little thick with themselves, but it's the ones who just move on, and you understand everybody is going to make them. So if you see somebody playing bogey-free, as Brooks Koepka was for 13 holes, and then he ends up bogeying it to the clubhouse and falls off the leaderboard, it's just going to be very difficult to go around playing bogey-free, and the person who minimizes those bogeys for a couple of rounds is the player who's going to be hunting on Sunday.
Okay, so Patrick Cantlay is the one that comes out of the gate, and he ends up shooting the 500 par 65. We all know that he has the kind of game that can win a major. What's your thought on him at the top of the board?
Well, I'm not a big fan of him personally.
No, I don't like the way
he seems miserable on the golf course.
Yep.
He has been a problem, I have been told, in the player negotiations between the public investment fund, with the Live Tour, and what's going on with the PGA Tour Policy Board. I don't know how much you've kept up on it, but about a month ago, Jimmy Dunn, who was the guy who brought the two sides together, resigned, and the word was he was just tired of the input from some of the players that what they wanted and what wasn't getting done. The guy who brought these two sides together, a guy who is a businessman who has negotiated deal after billion-dollar deal, and here's somebody like Patrick Cantlay telling him what to do. So I personally am not a fan of Patrick Cantlay.
Right.
He has struggled this year. He has not played well. But, you've heard me say this before, too, about Ludwig Åberg. There he is again. on the leaderboard. I said last year he would win a major this year. We saw what he did in his first Masters, his first U.S. Open, and there he is again. Man, he is such a good player, Steve. And you know, he's a guy, I'd be surprised if he doesn't stay there for four rounds.
I agree with that, and I agree about Cantlay, because when Cantlay plays at a very deliberate pace, and that always,
yes, he does.
When I see somebody like that, you know what that tells me? I know you're trying to be precise on the whole thing, but I don't give a darn about anybody else out there. And I think that probably translates into the clubhouse you're talking about. He didn't give a darn about anybody else.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and you're probably right about that. And just his, you know, I understand some guys aren't demonstrative out there. You know, they're not DeChambeau. They're not Tiger. But by the same token, you don't have to look miserable out there. And, you know, I used to think that of Jim Furyk, who was a really nice guy,
yep,
and a major,
no
major Steeler fan.
Yep.
But when he was out on the golf course, he looked like, even after he made a birdie, he looked like he swallowed castor oil. And I used to think, Jim's a great guy. He needs to show a little bit more of that on the golf course, unlike Patrick Cantlay, who looks miserable, and for the most part, I'm told, is.
At least he's consistent.
That's right. You say that for him.
He's consistent. All right. You know, so on this course, the guys that went this morning, they'll be the ones that go in the afternoon tomorrow. In a U.S. Open, is there any advantage as to what a tee time happens to be based on this course? I mean, is it bad being delayed today, early tomorrow, or what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is to someone who likes to sleep, because they get to bed early, they can practice after to get to bed early, and they have a late starting time. Those who are up early anyhow, or maybe don't like to sleep, if they go late Thursday and early Friday, well, that's okay for them. The weather usually dictates that, and so far they're gonna pretty much get a break. The breeze has picked up a little. It's not a score-altering, I don't think, Steve, but then, of course, anything coupled with the slopes of these greens can make it more treacherous. But it is breezier now than it was this morning. It was almost, the air was practically breathless at the time.
Yeah.
So unless you get some really bad rain or wind in one of the two waves on one of the two days, and you have the misfortune of getting it both days, you know, unlike what Sergio Garcia once thought, that the golf gods were against them, it's just the luck of the draw.
Right. Sergio always thinks everybody's against him, so that's you know,
exactly
again,
right.
There's again, I love the consistency. Tony Finau shot a 2-under today. He has a lot of wonderful elements to his game. What elements does he need to capitalize on that happen to be a strength, and what weakness does he need to minimize?
Steve, I'm sorry, I missed who you said.
Tony Finau.
He's a guy now that Xander Schauffele's won a major that most people think is, you know, kind of the, quote, best player to have not won a major.
Yeah.
Tony is a, you know, long driver of the ball, pretty good iron player. But I think his short game, his putting, is what holds him back. You know, he is a great guy. He's well liked out on tour. But I think that's probably the biggest thing that holds him back from winning more. But he puts himself up there, and you would think eventually he's going to break through. But I think to come in here, you can't come in here and expect to be a good putter, but you can come in here and be a good putter by not being a disastrous putter.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a big key, especially for him.
DeChambeau has done, I'll tell you right now, I think he's done a great job with the fans. And I think that's been, you know, over and over again, it's been showing. What's the state of his game? Because playing on LIV, we're not going to all have an understanding what the state of his game is.
You know, we saw him play well in the PGA. He actually played well in Houston last week on the LIV Tour. I will say this, Steve. The PGA Tour misses Bryson DeChambeau. They miss his length. They miss his personality on the golf course. They miss the crowds, miss him because of the way they react to him. The PGA Tour misses Bryson DeChambeau as much as any guy who's on the LIV Tour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he won a U.S. Open. Boy, that's a championship that probably nobody ever predicted he would win. But he is a U.S. amateur champ. He's a U.S. Open champ, and he's a great putter. People talk about his length, of course, but he is a tremendous putter. And I think he has a chance this week. And I'll be honest, I'd love nothing more than to see Bryson DeChambeau, except for Jordan Spieth. You know how I feel about that.
Of course.
But I would love to see Bryson DeChambeau win here this week.
Finally, I want to ask you about Rory McIlroy. All the talent in the world, we've seen it. He's won the four majors, including this championship. I think it was at Congressional, if I remember.
And, That's correct.
Does he have, at this stage of his career, the consistency that you need over four rounds to win it?
You know what amazes me about him? And we saw this happen with Dustin Johnson a couple of years ago, and it might have been the reason he won the U.S. Open at Oakmont. You know, he worked with Butch Harmon, and he worked on his game from 150 yards in, which for these guys is basically a wedge game.
Right.
Rory McIlroy, for all his talent, to me, is a terrible wedge player. For a guy who drives it as well as he does, and I think he's the greatest driver of the golf ball in golf history, he has so many wedges in his hand, and he leaves himself with so many, 20, 25, 35, 40-yard, 40-feet putts. And it's just surprising to me that his wedge game isn't better than it is. And to me, that's the thing that seems to hold him back. Look, when he gets on a roll and he's on his game, he might be, and I think he is, the best player in the world. But we don't see that enough. And a big reason for that is his lack of wedge game. And I think that's been the biggest drawback for him.
It is so great that you're down there. Appreciate the time you gave us today, as always, my friend. Cannot wait to catch up with you in person.
Steve, always good to chat with you. And you know I have that Sonny Hann around on my calendar whenever we make it work, during training camp.
We're going to make it work. I'm going to get a hammer to work on this.
There you go.
All right.
Steve,
thanks,
always
Jerry.
Always good to chat with you, my friend.
You too, my friend. He is the best. Think the world of him. Absolutely think the world of him. Jerry Dulac, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also with the Steelers Network. And, of course, when he's talking about Steelers training camp in La Trobe. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Free admission, free parking, free entertainment too. And now Knoebels has added even more free for you. Tuesdays in June are BOGO days, where two can ride, but only one pays. Buy one ride pass, get a second for free. You won't find a better deal. This we guarantee. double the fun for one low price. Sharing the rides is twice as nice. BOGO days are every Tuesday in June. Visit Knoebels.com to get yours soon.
Hi, this is Dave Moyer for the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store in Sunbury. This June, we're excited to offer 20% off Amish Essential Furniture. Amish-built furniture is prized because of its quality craftsmanship, solid hardwood construction, and attention to detail that only comes from handcrafted pieces. Solid wood bedrooms, dining rooms, entertainment, and accents, built a few hours away in Ohio, are included in this limited-time sale. At Moyer's, we reject low-quality disposable furniture. Instead, we offer quality solid wood furniture that is good for the earth, good for America, and good for you. Amish Essentials furniture will be enjoyed now and for generations to come. The Amish often quote this Christian proverb, "Idle hands are the devil's workshop." So keep their hands busy this summer building furniture for your home. 20% off Amish Essential Furniture ends Saturday, June 29th. Please visit the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store, 35 South 4th Street in Sunbury.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Father's Day coming up this weekend. We salute all the dads, stepdads, grandfathers, great grandfathers out there, you know, for everything that you do. Nothing like having a dad in your life. I had an awesome dad in my life. Oh, my dad was awesome. Yeah. Thought the world of him. May not have been a guy who said a lot, but he set some great examples. And when he did talk, I listened. Again, he just was not a big talker. They saved all that, and the family was actually saved for me. Right? I did all the talking. Yeah, who's the person in the family that talks the most? The same thing with my grandfathers. Grandfather Jones, my Grandfather Ferreira, they were just unbelievably great people. And then, of course, father-in-laws. Let's not forget father-in-laws. I had an absolutely tremendous father-in-law. Can't forget any of them along the way. So, hey, got gifts? Please. No. I don't need any gifts. But if you're thinking about it, you know, I mentioned earlier Brewers Outlet gift card. There you go. That probably would do well. But that's this weekend coming up. Looking forward to it. So if you get a chance, okay, if you get a chance, go ahead. The U.S. Open continues. Celtics Mavericks continue. Celtics won last night. It really was a test of the Celtics' depth. They did not have Kristaps Porzingis last night. But it was a night where there's two stars. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum stepped up. Had 61 between them. But again, Drew Holiday continues to play well. Derek White continues to play well. Al Horford comes off the bench. Now is starting with Porzingis out. He's playing well. And when you have depth and you have versatility in your lineup, you can do that. And that's one thing Brad Stevens did. Brad Stevens changed up the Celtics because they had too many of the same kind of player. Brown was a lot like Tatum. Tatum was a lot like Brogdon. Brogdon was a lot like Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was a lot like Derek White. Well, along the way, they did acquire White from San Antonio. But then they got Brogdon. They shipped him to Portland. They got Drew Holiday, who's a completely different player than Marcus Smart. Different. And in the Smart deal, they get Porzingis, who's totally different than anybody the Celtics have. He changed up the team. And it meshed. And they're up 3-0. With Game 4 coming up in Dallas. And Edmonton gets home. And the Florida Panthers, by the way, were delayed getting out of Fort Lauderdale. And the Phillies and Red Sox play again tonight. In the rubber game of the 3-game set at Fenway tonight. Good pitching matchup tonight. Aaron Nola against Tanner Houck. That's a really good pitching matchup tonight. All right. Great to be with you. Fun show coming up tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKLK.